All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, July 7, 2015, and ask if everyone would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and good morning on this cool July day, which is kind of nice for a change. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving to the microphone. We've got the Animal Control Department report, Sue McCaskey. Sue, I like the way we get you in and get you out so you can keep on serving.
Well, I'd rather be here than where I'm going. Okay, well, I'll start off with some statistics. Our calls for assistance has been 3,343. Our volunteer hours are 148, and that always goes down in the summertime due to the Iowa State students leaving, because we have many clubs that volunteer at the shelter, and sororities and fraternities and houses. Our adoption rate has reached a new high. We are at 99%. That is of all animals that come in the shelter. That's not us picking and choosing which ones are going to live and not counting those. That's everything. That's everything that comes in. So 99%. So we're very proud of that. The animals at the shelter right now, we have 117 cats, 19 dogs, 3 rabbits, for a total of 139 animals. And that's a little bit more than normal, but that being...
How high in cats? Is that high for cats?
Yeah, that's a lot of litter boxes. but we have been having trouble with some of the trailer courts with an overabundance of animals, a couple in particular, and they're just being dumped outside when people move or are evicted. So, and unfortunately, we get them when they're just a day away from having babies, and so it's just like we've got everything out there. We have every color. We have every – it's amazing. I mean, and we might get more because actually the real boom for the cats coming in doesn't hit us usually till about the 1st of August. So, but right now this is a high number for us.
Okay.
And we're receiving a lot of complaints daily, and this is daily, and I'm sure other people have experienced this, but there's, as everybody probably in Story County knows, a huge coyote population, and we are getting calls all the time. People are having them up in their front yard. One attacked a dog the other day that was in their yard outside. It's becoming quite a problem, and while we will do livestock, wildlife in extreme cases. When 15 years ago, we used to do wildlife at the drop of a hat. I mean, if somebody was out on the 7th hole at Indian Creek Country Club and there was a raccoon out, I'd go out at night, you know. I mean, it was like because they wanted to, you know, eradicate it and out of there. Well, we had to stop that because we were seriously, like, binging around the county all the time. So what we've told people is if you have something suspicious, to be sure and let us know. We will come and get it and euthanize it and have it tested for rabies. So far this year, we've not had any rabies that we've tested, but I know that there has been a couple that have turned up positive for people that have taken them in. So there is right now active rabies in Story County. But we don't do as much wildlife just because, you know, there's so much of it. But the coyotes are a big concern, you know. We've had people's dogs and cats carried away by them, you know. And it becomes when they're brave enough to come up to your house and stand on your front step, you know, you think about children outside and everything. So we're going to get with probably the Ames shelter and a couple other places and just kind of maybe make a new protocol on how we can handle this, you know, and give people advice, especially live in town. The people in the country can shoot them if they care to, but, you know, I don't blame people in town who have no way to take care of them for wanting to make sure their kids and their pets are safe. So that's what we're looking at there. We do a lot of, and this war, I finally get to say it, we do a lot of livestock calls lately. You know, there's still it gets better in the summer. We don't, you know, now that we have pasture, especially with all the rain, that will help a lot in a lot of these situations. But we still do a lot of calls, you know. We still have to tell people that you have to water them, you know, even though you have food out there, they have to have water with it. And so we're out a lot. And we also help a lot of people who have not been raised in a farming environment and have just gotten an acreage and just wanted to raise some animals, you know, and they don't understand what kind of feed or anything like that that they need. So we do try to help them along and get them going in the right direction. We're not experts, but, you know, we can give them the basics to kind of help them. The shelter shindig in May, we had that with the Ames Shelter, and this is through C&K Plumbing or Heating and Cooling, and they managed to raise $3,000, and it was split between the Ames Shelter and ourselves. And we also sold our T-shirts there and made some money off of those. And we had a couple vets, Dr. Liz McClure from Boone Vet Hospital and Dr. Fells from Somerset. They came, and Boone Vet Hospital, Dr. McClure, gave the implants for being able to find your pet, and Dr. Fells did rabies shots. And all of this was on their own cost, and then the money was turned around and donated back to us. And the same with Under One Wolf. They came and did some stuff, and then it's a grooming salon, and then they came back and gave us the money for it. Plus, I know C&K kicked in a bunch of money. So they're already talking about next year they want to do a lot more and have more booths, and, you know, so I'm going to meet with Sandra, who's Sonia, the owner's wife, and we're going to kind of get together and see if we can make it next year even better. We like to keep, it's a really good involvement. It's a really fun place for kids, but next year we're thinking, since we already have three goats and horses, we may as well have a petting zoo. So we're thinking about doing that. I forgot about the goats and the horses. So we want to do more with that next year, because it is a good fundraiser, and it gets us out there. It gets the Ames Shelter out there, you know. And we've also been dealing with two hoarding situations going on, trying to adopt and get the animals' situations down. One was a situation where there were 40 cats in the house. And so we've been taking cats out of there a little at a time, because with what we already have, we don't have the capacity to just take all of them in. But we're trying to help with that. And then we also had a hoarding situation where there were 18 dogs that were living in a travel trailer. And I think it was a very small travel trailer. And the owner, to be just honest, the owner was not letting them out to go to the bathroom. So the floor was total. So we went in there, and we did take those, and we had them spay or neutered. There were 8 puppies, so we've got them all adopted. Everybody's gone to a new home. We're out of that one. We really try to pay attention to hoarding situations, because it seems like there's more and more of them all the time in the state of Iowa. And we have just kind of been apprised of a situation that we're going to look into. We've always kind of been happy with ourselves that we've managed to keep puppy mills out of Story County, because we don't want that here.
Nope.
And the state already has kind of a bad name for having puppy mills. We're the third worst in the nation, so we don't want them here. So we've always been able to either make everybody comply in the past and do what they need to do to keep them. But the ultimate thing is we get to give the license out. And so if we feel that it's not a situation that we want to have here because of, you know, not proper buildings or not proper ways to care for them or whatever, we'll decline it. Or we suggest that they become state inspected, and then the state gets to come in and do their inspections and make sure that they pass every year. So we try to be fair with people, you know, but we don't want 40 dogs in somebody's backyard, you know, that they're just letting rebreed and they're selling them. So we've been really watching that. Our calls this year, it seems like the last, like, 2 months have been ridiculous. I mean, it's just, I don't know what happens. You know, the more we spay and neuter, the more animals we have. I don't know how this figures out, but it's like you're...
Out to the house
whatsoever. Yeah, I promised... Jane Halliburton, Larry Larson, and Fred Matteson 20-some years ago that we're going to do this spay and neutering, and we're going to keep up with it. Well, it's a state law, too, and we're going to have this problem taken care of in 20 years. My 20 years is up. And we have more animals coming in, and we're spay and neutering like we never have before. So I don't understand it, you know. You know, a lot of times people just, like the one lady called the other day, she said she has 17 kittens she needs to rehome with us because her female cats all had kittens. And she doesn't know how because they go outside, but she watches the females to make sure they don't get pregnant. You know, so I don't know what's happening there, but so we're going to try to work even harder on this. We have set up with Dr. McClure. We're going to hopefully get her and the other vet in Story County involved and have a couple spay-neuter days and try to help that problem. Petco chose us when they moved to Ames. Petco chose us as the shelter that they wanted to sponsor. That's been going very well. We take cats over there. They adopt them out through there. Our adoption rate, it helps with it helps us when we have too many cats to be able to take some over there. The adoptions go very, very quick. We can send four more over. And so they have helped us immensely with that. And plus they give us a lot of food. And it's great having them sponsor us. I mean, we're very lucky that they picked us. Because I know there were three other shelters in the area that wanted to be there. And we felt really fortunate that we got to be the ones. So they do a lot for us. So we try to tell people to support Petco because they are doing a good job over there. And they're very helpful if you go in and need something. Other than that, I don't have anything else. It's really, there's not been anything earth-shattering other than we're just really busy. So that's all I have.
Sue, thank you. We're fortunate to have you here in Story County, and I love the 99% adoption rate. And stay at it.
Oh, we will.
And we like what we need to see us.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, thanks. You're one of the few people that say that during the week.
Have a great day, Sue. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Next item is consideration of minutes from June 30.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any corrections or additions? Clinton?
Aye.
Sue?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel action as listed.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Personnel action passed. Consent agenda. Please add utility permits 1601, 1602, and 1603, and add road closure 1601.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Motion in the second. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of Youth and Shelter Services FY15 budget amendment. Former CEO George Valesos. Hi, George.
Good. Good morning. I am George Valesos, CEO Emeritus. With me here today is our new CEO. 4 days into the job, Andrew Allen. I'll be giving you a much better introduction to Andrew when we come in 3 weeks for our end of year quarterly report.
Outstanding.
So today he's here to learn and observe. Next time we'll have him sitting right up here with me. And then he'll be on his own after that. Yes. We have in front of you a request for a budget amendment for $15,937. Our error in not billing that, it was allowed for in our contract with Board of Supervisors and Juvenile Court. This is explained by the fact that we moved years ago, the crisis intervention work that we do in that budget, both in Nevada and through our Ames Family Counseling Center, used to be $112 a month because you were funding a service that you have to keep staffed, and no matter whether you have units of service to bill or not. That's the nature of crisis intervention. And the juvenile court has always supported us in keeping that open to all youth and families in Story County, regardless of ability to pay or anything like that. In fact, they don't pay for crisis intervention. Years later, juvenile court asked to move that to a unit of service billing. We agreed to move it to unit of service billing, but if we didn't bill it all down through units of service, the balance would be paid because we still have to keep it staffed. So that was agreeable, and that was what was in the contract. This is the first year that we didn't get to the total. I think part of the reason is the integrated health home program that was started. We just celebrated our one-year anniversary a year ago, July 1. We started with two kids in that program that's funded by Medicaid. And the whole purpose of that program is to reduce crisis intervention needs and to link kids up who have mental health problems or substance abuse problems to have a more of a team approach, especially with the meeting their physical needs and medical needs, behavioral health needs. Working as a team with Mary Greeley, McFarland Clinic, other agencies. So we now are 240 kids in that program in just 1 year. And I think that's part of the reason that the crisis intervention cases have dropped, and this is the first year that that has happened. And so we did not bill the balance when we sent our bill in. We just billed the units of service, and then our fiscal department called Shirley and said, well, you didn't pay us the balance, thinking they would know to do that. And of course, we should have put that on the form with the units of service. Shirley was very kind and said, well, it's too late now. This was week before last. Even though it was before the end of the year, you'd still have to make a budget amendment. So that's what brings me here today.
Okay. For me, I understand the mistakes can happen along those lines. I appreciate you noting correctly that in the FY 14-15 contract, it does in fact say that those funds, even the ones that are not utilized in units of service, will revert to YSS. Now, I do want to point out that changes as part of the new contract.
Yes.
Where any of those funds that are left revert back to the general fund.
Right.
Starting this year. And you know, this is, I'm sure, as you pointed out, this is the first time it's happened. I'm sure it'll be the last time it happened. But it will be, and I'll address this, it'll be a much different conversation a year from now if we're having the same conversation, right. At least in my mind. I don't know where you guys are. This creates no question, a headache for our auditors to get this done, but it's part of the deal that I think, just as partners, especially with an agency like YSS, that we just find a way to make it happen.
Question, what documentation would necessarily need to follow? The explanation he gave was further clarifies where we are, but on the document that is submitted or for the actual billing with the unit of service and all of that, would the auditor have some type of documentation there to and refer back to the previous contract language and so forth, so that if the auditors ever came in and questioned, you know, this process, that she could present that?
Well, I would believe, Wayne, that if it's this board's feeling that we're going to go ahead and fulfill the remainder of the FY15 contract and what funds are remaining, that we would simply ask YSS to work with Juvenile Court Services and Shirley to put together the invoice, even though it's late, get everything to the auditor's office, and make sure that our auditor's office has everything they need to have to explain where this expenditure is coming from. Shirley?
And YSS did submit an additional invoice, and I have not approved that, knowing that we were coming before the board today. So YSS does have have the $15,937.50 itemized, there would be $8,942.50 through agency services. That would be individual and family counseling. There is $5,000 for agency services. That's the juvenile justice meetings that are held on a monthly basis for Story County. And then there is $1,995 for the outreach, the therapy and counseling in the Nevada Outreach Center. So we will get that submitted this week.
And so if this board decides to approve this, then what I would suggest is we take the memo from JCS explaining, puts those numbers in front of us and explains the situation. We would approve that, and then our follow-up action would be JCS is going to submit the approved invoice to the auditor for payment.
Right.
That takes a motion from you guys if in fact that's the way you want to go.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, second.
All right, we have a motion, second. Further discussion. I'm going to underscore one more time, George, just so that it's on the record. There is a change in contract language for future years, so let's don't do this again.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and I apologize for the mistake by our fiscal department, and I thank you for your support, and thanks, Shirley, for processing the bill.
Mistakes happen, no question about it. Anything further? You make the motion?
Paul did.
Paul? Two?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It is approved. Shirley, you need any further clarification from me?
No, I think I have it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next item, consideration and discussion of Juvenile Court Services recommendations to transfer a portion of YSS services funding to the asset process. Effective 7/1/16, so that it would be part of the FY17 asset budget if, in fact, we made this move.
Correct. George and Deb and I don't know, Deb, if you want to join us. We've had several meetings. One of the issues is that the board supports youth and shelter services funding and programming for all of Story County, and you actually support that in three different funding streams currently. One is through Juvenile Court Services, one is through Community Services, and then the third is through the asset process. And so George does a wonderful job with the spreadsheet and has that broken down, but due to funding streams changing and also programming changing over the years, it would be my recommendation that the board take a look at streamlining the oversight of those county dollars. And before you should have the breakdown. The programs that I'm recommending that the board change to the asset process are those programs that are used through juvenile court as diversion and are essentially available to all Story County residents. So that would be the employment assistant program, which is $4,000. The Nevada outreach excluding is currently $37,500. I'm looking at moving $23,500. That excludes the treatment dollars that we would leave under the JCS oversight discretion. There's family development in the amount of $1,500. Junior high mentoring in the amount of $20,000. Junior high after school in the amount of $34,000, kids club in the amount of $17,500, youth development and social adjustment in the amount of $28,000, substance abuse prevention and public education, that's a lot of school programming, in the amount of $48,000 for the total amount of $1,076,500. The asset process has an in-depth process in place. YSS does have staff members that are part of that process, as is Deb. I'm not recommending any reduction in services to any of those programs. I see them as vital programs to the county and would recommend that you continue to support those specific programs. George is recommending that we leave the funding status quo, that we don't make any changes, that it's been that way for approximately 39 years, and I appreciate George's history of how that was set up. We just have different programming, different funding streams, that to me it makes sense to kind of streamline that process. Certainly would encourage you to get George's opinion and Deb's, but I would like the board to consider that moving towards that asset process.
Before we get to that part of the conversation, take me back to the outreach portion, $23,500, but there's $14,000 that you would recommend still flowing through JCS. Talk me through that.
Okay, and that money is primarily used for therapy, individual and family counseling. So that would be the treatment dollars. And when you look at the current spreadsheet that the board has, we pull out four different services. So whether it's individual family counseling, that's one line item. Substance abuse counseling is a different line item. YSS has asked for telehealth and nurses fees. We have not added any new line items at the request of the board. I see those as valuable services, but as we move forward, if we would look at two funding streams through the board funding that JCS has oversight, one would be the shelter, and then the other would be all treatment dollars. So we would be able to, in the future, add those services, telehealth, but it would all be under a separate contract, and it just would streamline that process, in my opinion.
So if I'm, let me ask a question. If I'm hearing you correctly, the total dollars allocated would not be reduced. It's just a way of shifting and more or less aligning them with the types of programs that are currently going to be in place. And I would assume there would be a continual coordination between the juvenile court service portion as it relates to that portion that YSS is performing. Am I correct in that assumption?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and I know that probably, I don't know, Rick, you or I'm not sure with Deb, or have probably been involved a little bit in the discussion prior to this as we approach this consideration. On the surface, the concept appears to be very similar to what we try to do as a board of supervisors. We try to look at the best way to manage dollars in the most cost-effective way, and then having the proper, I hate to use the word oversight, but in a sense, you're streamlining how you can identify and form of accountability throughout the process. I'm hearing you say that has always been there, but there are still some things that is done outside of juvenile court purview under the current scheme of things, and so this change would allow you to do what?
This change would allow us to monitor treatment dollars and shelter care, those programs that juvenile court is referring our more moderate to high-risk clients at. And then it allows for our low-risk clients or any community member that is needing services, that those are coming out through the asset process.
Okay, I got you. Thank you.
And all of these services that Shirley has went through and recommending to go through the asset process are already in the asset process and funded by the city, United Way, to some extent GSB. So they wouldn't be brand new services to asset. They're already within that process. And I want to caution, too, the figures that we're throwing out, those are fiscal year 16 contracted figures. So that's, and that contract was just approved on the consent agenda. So the system will continue as is for fiscal year 16. But we're bringing this to you now because starting here in the next couple of months, the agencies that go through the asset process have to start working on their fiscal year 17 budgets. Those are due September 30th. And so we wanted this to be looked at today so YSS knows what direction they need to go.
And so I know I'm oversimplifying here, but as we look at the FY17 budget, if the Board of Supervisors were to approve this change, what we would see is we would see YSS receive roughly an additional $176,000 through the asset process, and correspondingly that much less through their JCS contract, which is funded from Story County anyway. Just right now it's going from Story County to JCS to YSS. Now we're talking about moving those dollars into the asset process, but we're not talking about a reduction to YSS. You know, I think it's fair to say, and George, if I misstate this, help me, but I think I got from George's initial conversation of this a couple months ago that the concern is not next year. It's down the road. It's potential increased competition for the dollars. It's a change in direction of the asset process. It's all those things. And I got the sense, George, that you felt like there was more stability in those dollars coming through JCS longer term, more stability. Was it your concern that it would have any kind of immediate impact on YSS? Is that all fair?
Yes.
Okay. For me, I love the asset process. I think it is one of the things we do really, really well here in Story County. And I like the idea of, if we're already doing it as part of the asset process, let's make sure that we have the funding there to continue to do it. YSS is one of our great partners. They're already in the asset process. They already work through that process. They're already receiving dollars from the asset process, I think, in every one of these categories, if I'm not mistaken. It's just you're getting dollars from two separate places. Yeah, come on up. George, the commitment that I made to you, as I recall when we first talked about this, is you would get to weigh in all the way through this discussion and deliberation.
And I appreciate that very kind and generous offer to really hear us out. I appreciate your having this discussion today. Everything that you said as to why YSS would like the Board of Supervisors not to move the money from juvenile court's budget to asset is correct. It's my concern is, and our board's concern is, that this is all delinquency prevention funding. Most of this funding we do get from other sources through the asset process. However, it is billed differently, very differently. For example, going back 39 years, at that time, juvenile court officers were county employees. Everything that juvenile court did was funded by the county. Since then, and that's what started this marriage between the Board of Supervisors, YSS, and juvenile court. When asset came along, the Board of Supervisors decided not to make that money part of the asset process because it was in department budget, juvenile court. If the agreement that we have before you for next year, it's headed Board of Supervisors, Juvenile Court Services, service agreement with YSS. The board over the years has, and your predecessors have, developed a lot of these programs. That's what the board has wanted. And the focus has been outside of Ames, to the school districts, the small school districts, all throughout Story County, and to the youth in the rural areas. The creation of just down the street here, the Nevada Youth Service Bureau, that was its first name, was the Board of Supervisors. They wanted human services to be located outside of Ames. People were very tired of having to always go to Ames for all services. Actually, that building that we bought, the Board of Supervisors paid the part of the cost to get that program going. We raised the rest from donations. And that has served Eastern Story County very well. It's now called YSS of Eastern Story County. The $23,500 that goes to YSS of Eastern Story County is not billed by unit of service. That pays the salary, a good portion of the salary of our coordinator, who works throughout this part of the county. And she doesn't do counseling. She does prevention work and coordination. That really isn't a unit of service that we have through ASSET. I don't know how we would bill that. So that would be a challenge, and that's that $23,500. The junior high after school program, all of the, what you know of as Kids Club programs, they all opened up outside of Ames at the wishes of the juvenile court and also the Board of Supervisors. After school is between the hours of 3 to 6 are when most young kids get in trouble with the law. They go unsupervised, especially in rural parts of Story County. You put forth money, and the juvenile court asked for the funds, in particular for the kids' clubs to open up all throughout Story County. But the juvenile court was more interested in the older kids. So we do have in there that junior high after school program. That's in three small school districts. That is not billed by unit of service. You don't charge parents, they're reluctant enough to pay for the kids club for the younger kids that are first, second, third, fourth grade, but you get to fifth, sixth, and junior high, they don't pay. If you charge, those kids don't show up. Those are the kids that juvenile court wanted to have a constructive activity in the rural areas for them free of charge. That is paid for 1/12 a month. That is not billed by unit of service. If it went under asset, I'm not sure we could draw down that. And it would be also a different cost than the kids club, because we fund having someone in the schools after school. We don't know from month to month exactly how many kids will be there. It's a very successful program. We have a newsletter, goes out to all the parents, tells them about the program, availability of the program. The kids want to go because it's fun, but there are a lot of kids who are pushed to go by their parents. So if you do approve this, I would like you to at least take it a little slower rather than half of our budget being moved to asset and see what happens. My concern, and so if you could reduce it down by maybe taking out the Nevada outreach and the junior high after school and a junior high mentoring, that would bring it down to $105,000. That's a third of the funding that we get. And let's watch and see what happens to that $105,000. My concern is I respect, support, and applaud the asset process. I was part of getting that whole thing started. I remember going before the different funders and talking about the advantages to moving to the asset process, but never was this funding part of that because it was under a county department. So now that you're thinking of moving in that direction, the asset process puts the money in panels that are then decided within each panel how that money is going to be used. This, let's say you get it down to $105,000. Right now, we get $17,500 for Kids Club. That goes into a panel. The panel decides if they want to fund after-school programs, and it could go to after-school program in Ames.
I mean, I'm not sure that's right.
It could. Because it's this funding in the asset process isn't up to you to say $17,500 is to be used for kids club outside of or after school program outside of Ames.
Oh, I think the dollars we put into it, and Deb, I'm going to ask you, the dollars we put in, we can say this is for programming outside of Ames.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
That's part of the funder's priorities, which...
It could be a priority, Deb, but the dollar amount could go wherever the board, wherever the panel decides to recommend.
Well, George, that also could change depending on the makeup of the Board of Supervisors, that over a given calendar year, if they see other programs and services, they could decide that that funding should go there. So that doesn't really change, in my opinion. I think what becomes everybody who's a part of the asset process is to be able to sit down and justify the scope of the services and the program that they're offering and the benefit that it's arrived. And I've rarely seen in situations where there has not been support to continue those types of programs. I don't like to think about the what if, because the what if to me is if something happens that is unforeseen, that's where we have a process in place. The entities come before the funding mechanism, which would be, in this case, the asset funders, which would include the Board of Supervisors, City of Ames, GSB, and then we sit down and talk about, you know, how do we maintain those good programs that are currently basically in place. And I believe the reasonable-minded people looking at the history and the success that not only your agency has established, but other agencies as well, I don't really see that changing that much. I think that the biggest, and I'm sure that if I was in your shoes, that I may have some reservations and be thinking somewhat similar from what you're thinking about. But I put a lot of faith in the system that we have in place and the professionalism of the people that are there. Unless someone can show me that that system is not providing the level of service and the level of, I hate the word scrutiny, but it's the deliberation that's going. To me, the panel is a good thing. I've seen it work extremely well because it gives outside people opportunities to weigh in and discuss and have input. And they are just a recommending body.
Absolutely.
That's all they are. They're just a recommending body.
Right.
So they don't ultimately make the decision. We would make, and the funders make the decision. So I just want to make sure that we have a clear picture of and in my years of service, and I speak to other counties time and time again about the quality of the asset process and how effective it's been, because it is a collaborative issue in Story County.
And so, Wayne, I think you're right on the money. I don't share George's concern of dollars that this board intends to be utilized outside of Ames ever going inside of Ames. I think we've got processes to handle that through the asset process. I would, however, like to hear more about the items that George listed. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $75,000 to $80,000 that George listed that aren't readily available for units of service. Deb, can you talk me through that in the asset process?
Yep. I think one of the positive things here is within the asset process, we've got the four panels, and YSS is in each of those panels. So their services are diverse enough that they fall within each of those panels. So I'm hopeful that we would find, you know, make sure that we would find homes for all those services. And like I said, there most of them, I didn't realize that junior high after school was not part of that, but most of these services are already in one of those panels for YSS. The one that's mentioned, the after-school junior high, if that's not in the asset process, we can take a look and talk to George, to Mindy, to Andrew, and figure out, okay, what is that service? And then if we need to develop a service code for it, we will. I mean, we do that all the time when agencies are either applying for asset funds for the first time or they're adding a service. So I think we can get to that. I do want to stress that with the size or as big of a change as this is, we would want to make it a smooth transition if that's the decision that the board decides to go. And so I would see that extra work and extra time would be needed for myself and for the volunteers who are liaisons for YSS to sit down with YSS staff and explain this change and how and what the intent is moving forward so that they are aware of what's planned by the Board of Supervisors. And so then when we're in those panel work sessions and we're talking about those services, they can say, well, you know, we met as a group, and this is how these dollars are supposed to be handled. So I think we can work on a smooth transition by involving the liaisons and the YSS staff.
Is the unit of service concern, do you see a way to work with that, or is there no way to build that in? So looking specifically at the 23,500, the 20,000, and 34,000, that right now, and I'm sure I'm misstating what it is, but it looks to me more like a block grant model. We want this provided. Here's right. The dollars in order to provide it, and we don't need to talk about actual units of service provided. Is there a way to deal with that within the asset process?
Yeah, there already is a unit of service, and I'd have to go back and look and see what it says specifically or what the definition is, because it ties in the YSS of Eastern Story County, the Nevada Youth Service Bureau, and some other services, and I'd have to go in and really...
Social adjustment.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I would like to work through that. If there isn't a way to fit that, that we could come back to the board and talk about some alternatives, but I would like to have that, at least have that opportunity to sit down with YSS staff and figure out a way.
I think it would be very difficult for those three programs to move to a unit of service. We give you all the data
right.
on the
mm-hmm.
numbers served,
right.
But if you don't have, if you go strictly by unit of service, we'd have to have a new ABF 5.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a different amount. It would, I mean, it would be a very difficult thing to do because it doesn't fit.
I think Del George is uncomfortable with this. And I have a great deal of respect for the asset process, as the rest of us do. I have a great deal of respect for George and George's history through YSS and this body.
Thank you.
Would it be reasonable to take these three line items out that George has the most discomfort with and let those stand alone as they do now and move the rest of these items to the asset process? And at some point, under new guidance with Mr. Allen in the back here, this could be something that could migrate to asset
in the next
couple of years.
Right.
But I can understand George's concern with this. That's just my suggestion.
I would be much more comfortable with that. More of a gradual.
Well, I mean, your analysis is the right on, Paul, because it also sounds like Deb in the asset process needs some time to work with YSS staff and so forth and looking at, you know, the various programs as well.
Can I throw something up again,
please do.
George?
Please.
This is maybe a question for you, too. You know, we've got the unit of service, and then we also have our just our mechanism of billing. And I know with United Way, their allocations to all of their partner agencies are 1/12 of the allocation.
Right.
So
right.
So that's how you draw down
right.
United Way funds through the asset process. Do you provide United Way any units of service information or when you go to bill?
No.
Okay. I mean, so there would be an arrangement similar to that, I think, that we could look at. I mean, you could provide us with units of service. We could, you know, we could work it out. It'd have to be done through the county's contract for fiscal year 17. but we could work it out with these services, and maybe we do this for the first year or so just to kind of ease into it, but allow you to bill on a 12th of the year, but then when you go to bill, just also provide the units of service documentation.
Which we do now. We bill 1/12 a month for those three services, and we come to the Board of Supervisors. We provide a verbal and written report on the services provided, how many kids are involved, what are the activities that they're doing, and then we give that report to juvenile court as well. Mm-hmm. I would like to keep doing that on those three that really don't fit well. I mean, it's $105,000 that is being moved. That's a huge amount of money, and I trust the asset process. I have, you know, I bid them farewell at my last hearing, saying next year it'll be a new CEO. I commended them for their work. This is not a lack of respect for the process, but an understanding from a provider's perspective of how it goes. It yes, in the end, the funders have a say as to the recommendations, but it really is handing this money over to a group of volunteers who are very well intentioned to respect your guidelines, but the guidelines are very broad, very broad. I really have a concern 2 or 3 years down the road that this money, like take for example the youth development social adjustment, it could go to any number of other programs or
I think it's a legitimate services. Term. I think that is absolutely, and I heard that from day one on this, George, that's your concern. I think that's a legitimate concern. And if I were sitting just from YSS's point of view, I would absolutely share that concern. From the county's point of view, if priorities change, I'm not sure that's a terrible thing. I like our asset process for helping us to identify. We get to identify kind of the global priorities, right, and then the asset process drills down into the specifics. So help me with the math here, because I'm coming up with a different number than you are. I've got that you're requesting $77,500 be pulled back out of that, which would take us to $99,000 rolling into the asset process.
You're right.
Is that right?
Correct.
Surely I'd like to get your feelings on George's request, and I'm taking this as a request. For now, with the goal being that ultimately we would move all of this to the asset process. We would just identify what the logistics would be in moving it, and it would not happen immediately. Paul, I don't know if that's what you intended with your suggestion, but at least at this point, that's how I'm taking it. I'm saying that for FY17, we would go with the $99,000 rolling in. We would hold those other items with JCS for FY17 and try to work through what it would look like with Mr. Allen and others heavily involved in the process, what it would look like if we move that remaining $77,500 over. Shirley, thoughts on that?
I would not have any objection to that. I would have to defer to Deb and George about the asset process, because I have not been involved in that and would not plan on being involved in that at this point.
Yep.
That I think there's a system in place.
Okay. Deb, your thoughts on, so it's taken a half step this year with the goal being that we would continue to move if we can identify a proper mechanism to do it.
It makes sense. And I think it gives us some additional time to really hone in on these particular programs and services and try and see how they fit into how the dollars are drawn down to provide those services.
So I'll make a motion that we approve the recommendation of juvenile court services to transfer a portion of the YSS service funding to the asset process, with the exception of $23,500 for Nevada Outreach,
$20,000 for the junior high mentoring program and $34,000 for the junior high after school program.
I'll second the motion.
And I would just ask if it's your intent in that motion that we continue to look at transferring those dollars
correct
into the asset process, but it would be FY18 or later.
Now, yes. That's the understanding.
Okay. Further discussion from the board?
No, I think it's been very helpful. This is certainly a better understanding for me of the process and some of the difference in when we talk about unit of service in the billing and how some programs may or may not fit that particular scope of things. And I think the end result is how do we maintain quality services with the appropriate funding, and where is that funding coming from, and then how is it documented, or especially if it's passing through more than one agency, mm-hmm. and that there's coordination in that effort in some way. So, I think this would be a good compromise.
Good. Stuart, before we vote, anything to add?
I appreciate Paul's suggestion. I think it is, I feel a lot better about moving one third or close to 100,000 and seeing how that goes and giving it a year, and then I think we'll all have better information. It also make it much easier on my successor to prepare the asset proposal. This is quite a change from what we requested before. And this fits a lot better into the asset process, the items selected, because those are all
they're already funded
services that are already funded. The ones that you pulled out don't fit.
And so we're going to check and see if we can get them to fit, but that will take us some time. Deb Shirley, anything to add before we vote?
Just wanted to thank the board. I also want to thank Deb and George. We had several meetings, and there was certainly a very valuable discussion and an educational process. So thank you all.
Outstanding. And I would just point out one last time, this is not a change in how many dollars are coming from Story County for these services, nor is it a change, at least immediately, in the dollars that end up with YSS. It's simply a change in pathway for some of those dollars going from the county to YSS. Everybody good?
Yep.
Paul Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It passes. 99,000 with the noted items pulled out. Deb will count on you to put together the process by which we're going to work on getting that all moved to asset.
Yes.
Okay. Outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks.
Shirley, before you get away, I've got two things I need you to sign up.
Okay.
Next item on our agenda is consideration of Resolution 1602, approving the final residential partial subdivision plat of Harrison Addition. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day. Pretty much more straightforward case. Basically, a residential partial subdivision of 40 acres of land located in Section 26 of Grant Township. Lot 1 will be the current agricultural dwelling that's located on the parcel, as well as all the agricultural land. Lot 2 will become a vacant parcel, and as you know, through the residential partial subdivision process, will become a buildable lot for a single-family dwelling upon recordation. Upon review, staff found that the plat is in accordance with Chapter 87 and 88 of our regulations, and all the supporting documentation is in place for recordation. Therefore, staff recommends that the board accepts the final plat of Harrison Additions Residential Partial Subdivision and adopts Resolution 1602. Questions?
Thank you. Questions for Ryan?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
It is.
I'll move approval of Resolution 1602 for the final subdivision plat.
Second.
Motion is second. Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 1602 passes. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Next item is discussion and consideration of Resolution 1603, a bridge embargo. Darren Moon. Hi, Darren.
Good morning. This is normally an item you see every 2 years, and it's usually on the consent agenda. I pulled it down to additional item this year because of the closure on 248th. You'll see in the listing, it shows all the updated bridge postings after we do our bridge inspections, and there's three of them on there. You'll see actual closure designations. One is the historic bridge south of Ames, and the other two are next to each other. One is the Hickory Grove Bridge, and the other one is this 248th Street Bridge. I just wanted to make it clear that this is kind of your okay to close that bridge permanently. We'll probably have to have more discussions on it down the road of what we're actually going to do with that bridge. At this point, I would like to start taking that bridge out with our own crews. That's more winter work for us, so we won't be getting to that anytime soon. But we've already got the signs across the road, so it's very visible that the road is closed. But
this is the one over the skunk leading to King Mineral Road.
This is just north of Hickory Grove Bridge.
Oh, okay. All right.
248.
All right. Yeah, it's the one we were planning on using back when we thought we weren't going to put in the Hickory Grove Bridge, right?
Correct. We've had some public meetings on that, and there's a few issues with the school bus turnaround we're going to work on, but other than that, there wasn't a lot of.
You've got a new house going in right down there as well, right?
Yeah.
Great. All right, well, thank you for bringing it to our attention, and this would serve as notification and making it official that 248 is closed. Yeah. Further discussion?
I would move Resolution 1603 to bridge embargo.
Second. Motion and second. Further discussion. Clinton?
Aye.
Tootin?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It is so.